This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back for the stretch run on the Fan. We're about 2 hours and 15 minutes away from the kickoff of the sixth and final wild card round game. Cardinals, Rams, rubber match in the NFC West. Arizona won the first game in L.A. L.A. won the second game decidedly out in Arizona. Now they've got a matchup in Los Angeles for round three. The Cardinals, oddly enough, much better on the road this year than at home. 3.5-point spread. The Rams, of course, the hosts are favored. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Randy Mueller, we've had on the show several times before, always great insight from the front office perspective. He was the executive of the year in the NFL in 2000. Former National Football League general manager with the Saints and the Dolphins joins us. Randy, thanks for some time here in D.C. Let's get to the breaking news, though, which is it sounds like there's a GM change happening in Vegas. Mike Mayock's Raiders made the playoffs. Rich Bisaccia's future's up in the air. A lot of people talking about whether or not he'll come back. But it sounds like whether he does or he doesn't, it'll be the decision of the next general manager maybe. With Mayock out, what do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised by that, to be honest with you. I think Mike Mayock was the beneficiary of, you know, John Gruden being the head coach, and he was John's guy. So I think moving forward, maybe they want more of a traditional background for their GM. I could sure see Rich hanging on to his job. I think he did a great job. But that team, as good as it was this year and as far as Rich Bisaccia could pull it, they still got some building to do. They've got some retooling to do, especially on defense, and some things that they have not done well in the past they need to improve on. So I'm not surprised by that. I think it's a really good job. I think there will be people lining up for it. Mark Davis is a very supportive owner, always gives you everything you want with regard to financial backing and support. So there'll be some guys lining up for that job, no question. I think Rich did a more than adequate job and would be a great choice to hang around to be the head football coach, though.
What does it mean for Derek Carr? Because you touched on it, Randy. There's a lot of pieces to like on that Vegas Raiders roster. That's a good situation, both coach and general manager. But what might it mean for their signal caller, who's on the last year of a really affordable team-friendly deal?
Yeah, I really can't see him going anywhere or them doing anything. Everybody wants to pick a different lane with a quarterback, but who are you gonna get? That's the big question. And I couldn't see a new GM. I couldn't see Mayock. I couldn't see Rich Bisaccia, anybody moving on from Derek Carr after the year that he had this year. I think he progressed. This is a guy that's really hitting his prime right now. And to even consider letting him go, you'd have to have a better option. And I just don't know that a better option is going to come up. And I guess it's one thing if you can get Aaron Rodgers in return, but I don't know that that's realistic. So I think you can see him probably staying, and whoever the next GM is, probably signing him to a longer-term extension. I think it makes sense.
Randy Mueller with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. If you count Bisaccia's job, where he was the interim head coach, and since they are at least interviewing other candidates, I think we need to. There are seven openings. Give me the couple that you think separate themselves as the best, or if that tier's larger, how many, you know, go over deep you need to. And then the worst of those jobs where you'd be really buyer beware about becoming the head coach somewhere.
Well, I think it's kind of crazy where we've come to, because for the last 40 years, you could have probably said the Giants and the Bears are the two best, most secure, best supported jobs in the league. And guess what? They're not what they used to be, right? They're not our dad's Bears. They're not our dad's Giants. They've got issues, really struggling in New York right now to find their leadership. So those two jobs, I would have said a few years back, would have been at the top of the list. I don't know if I see that right now. I think the sleeper job in the whole mix, if you're a coach, is, and maybe it's not a sleeper, is Denver. Other than the ownership possible change, that's the only fly in the ointment. You're talking about a pretty good team, a pretty good roster, a solid GM in George Payton. All you need is a quarterback. And I know they've said that for the last couple of years, but George really hasn't had a chance to solve that yet. He will get it solved. I'm convinced of that. And I think that could be a good job. The other job that I don't hear much talk about is the Minnesota job. The Wilfs have been more than supportive of their people. They trust the football side once they hire them. I mean, Rick Spielman was there 16 years. So that goes a long ways toward being a stable situation. I think Minnesota could be a good job, too. I guess the ones I struggle with the most nowadays are really Jacksonville, obviously, is a mess. That winning percentage of 25% the last 10 years is not going to fly. They probably can't make enough change there to matter, right? They need to change their process, the way they view things, the way they make decisions. I just don't know that whoever you plug in as a head coach there is really going to matter. Seems to me like they have more change to make above that. They probably need a new face of the team, to be honest with you, and that to re-engage those fans, that might be what it takes. And I think that can be said for the Giants, too. They've struggled for so long. They've got to find a way to engage the fan base. It's entirely toxic and really hard right now for Giants fans. I don't know what they do short of, you know, finding one of these coaches who's at the near or end of his contract that's well thought of to come there. I just don't know what they're going to do. They've got to find a way to re-energize a fan base that is Giant, no pun intended, and that's easier said than done.
Longtime NFL exec Randy Mueller kind enough to join us here on Grant and Danny. All right, Randy, let's go through the teams that are actually still dancing when it comes to the postseason. Pull back 30,000-foot view. What was your headline? What's kind of your big story here of this Super Wild Card weekend so far?
Well, I think the Bills' annihilation of the Patriots is more than just a changing of the guard, right? You can say what you want about these other teams, but the quality of the play that they got from Josh Allen kind of sets them apart, in my opinion. I think they become a team to reckon with, and we're going to find out this week when they go to Kansas City, but I think Josh Allen now enters the fray as an MVP that's equal to Pat Mahomes. So I think that was a big takeaway for me, just the way that they manhandled the Patriots. That's more than one loss. That's a hard one because the Patriots have been riding the rookie quarterback in Mac Jones all season long, but the bad news is now they got to play Josh Allen twice a year for the next 10 years. So what are they going to do to match that? There is a big difference in talent between the Bills and the Patriots. The other one for me is the way the Cowboys kind of laid a big egg. To me, when the playoffs started, I thought Dallas had the best team on paper. They had the most talent, but that doesn't mean they play the best or they're going to go the furthest. And we found that out. It was a hodgepodge of mistakes, of miscommunication, of things just being screwed up. And the 49ers found a way to run the ball just enough. They took field goals. They set analytics aside. They got points when they could get points, and it ended up being enough. So I thought the disappointment was the Cowboys. Probably the Bills were the biggest winner on the weekend so far anyway. We obviously have the game tonight to look at as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. Randy, I want to take out a shovel with you, though, on the Cowboys for a second. McCarthy, Kellen Moore's play call at the end, Dak 6 years in with all the talent around him, struggles down the stretch here this year, and the disappointments in the postseason. You know, your thoughts on some of those main characters in this play that is the Dallas Cowboys year in and year out?
Yeah, I think the commonplace there is, it's really, to me, always been this. I think they have a culture problem. The culture is an issue. When you have a coach who's made his living running, calling plays, running his offense, and now he's in charge in a more CEO role like Mike McCarthy is, it just the dynamics are weird. I just have felt like, and maybe it's just me, he's been disconnected from what they've done, and I think it showed for the last 2 years. It's not his offense. He's not calling the plays. I was with Mike McCarthy in New Orleans. He was our offensive coordinator when I was a GM there, and we were really good. But he is a blue-collar, grinder, play caller, roll up his sleeves and get dirty type coach, and he doesn't get to do any of that with Dallas. So he's had to fit in what Jerry has going there, and I just don't think it's worked. So I think that's the big takeaway for me is culturally, do they have enough, you know, wherewithal to examine deep enough their flaws and try to fix it? I don't know about the Boy Wonder, Kellen Moore. I don't know if that's the, you know, if he's a leader of men. I don't see that right now. I think he's going to be a good coach. I don't think he's ready yet. And if they lose Dan Quinn, that's their biggest asset on the coaching side, in my opinion. So Dallas is in for a little reckoning here, and I think they're going to have to look deep to solve the problems.
Randy, I like just about everything about Denver. I like their roster construction. I like their weaponry. They're, like a lot of teams, it seems like, just a quarterback away. Just go through the pros and cons maybe of that job. That division seems to be like a buzzsaw, you know, with Kansas City and the Chargers for the next several years. But Denver seems to be pretty attractive, no?
Denver's a very good job, and that's why I said I'd probably put it at the top because of that. I like their roster. I like their defense especially. They found ways to add players but yet acquire parts. You know, the trading of Von Miller for a couple draft picks, that hopefully pays dividends for them. Their offensive line with Mike Munchak coaching them, I think, is improving. It's still not there yet, but it will be. Their receivers are good. They have a couple good running backs. So they have players, there's no doubt. Somehow they just got to put it together to find a quarterback. And I know George Payton well enough to know he's been working on this for 6 or 8 months. He knew they didn't have the answers, but he was hoping to keep it together. And I think Vic Fangio did as good a job as he probably could. But I definitely think they're in a division now, though, they can make some hay. I think the Raiders and the Kansas City making the tournament this year, we'll see where the Raiders go. Kansas City's always going to be there. But the Chargers kind of laid an egg, so their spot is less than guaranteed. So I'm with you. I like Denver. I like where they're at. Like I said, the one thing that bothers me a little bit is this proposed or possible ownership change, and that sometimes begets too much change that comes with it. Hopefully they just leave the football part alone.
Randy Mueller was the executive of the year in the NFL in 2000. He's been a GM with the Saints and the Dolphins, and he was a high-ranking exec with the Chargers and the Seahawks as well. Joining us on Grant and Danny. GM us through, for lack of a better term, this offseason trying to find a quarterback for Washington. Let's say, hypothetically, Jimmy G's available, Derek Carr's available. We're kind of ruling out the possibility of Rodgers and Wilson because it's unrealistic. Would you try to trade for one of those guys? What do you think it might take? Would you just stand pat at 11 and take whatever quarterback is there for you? What would be your plan coming off of a year where Heinicke got exposed a little bit as likely a number two?
Well, I think they've got to be in on every deal. I think you guys have it pegged, but I think they've been in on every deal. They just haven't been able to put it together. Yes, to answer your question, I would be in on Derek Carr for sure. I'd probably be in on Jimmy G as well. 49ers have made it clear. They've picked a lane when they traded up to draft Trey Lance last year. I think Jimmy G's probably surpassed their expectations right now, so you'd have to take a look at him. I think he probably will be more affordable than Carr would. I think you'd have to give a couple first-round picks for Carr, to be honest with you. So I don't know that that's realistic. The only draftable quarterback that I see that is the answer, and I don't know how much of an answer we can put on any of these rookies now, is Kenny Pickett from Pitt. I don't think these other guys are going to figure in the mix at the end of the day. I'm not looking for 6-foot-tall guys that run around. I want a 6'3-plus pocket passer that can make all the throws, and Kenny Pickett's the only one for my money that does that. So I would hope that they're in the middle of that. I don't know that he's going to be there picking where they do, though. They may have to move up to get a guy like him. I just think for Ron's sake and really what they have going now, I guess entering year three, they might be better served if they can find a veteran guy. But I just don't know how good players don't, you know, get passed around, so to speak. And so I just think it's going to be hard. They may have no choice but to trade up in that draft and try to manufacture a Kenny Pickett window where they can get him.
Randy, we hear all the time, it's cliche at this point, right, where people always say it's a copycat league. I always want to pick the brain of guys that did it at the high level that you did. If you're one of the teams outside looking into the teams that are having success right now, what are you trying to replicate? What are you saying? You know what? I want some of that. To me, I watch Kansas City play. Everybody seems so fast. I just want that. I know that there are other ways to skin the cat, though. But what are the things that you as an exec would see and say, you know what, I got to get me some of that?
Well, that part of the game hasn't changed a lot. I mean, it's always been about speed on the perimeter, but it also comes back to offensive line and defensive line, and that's what I saw jump out in me at the with the 49ers and Dallas game. I mean, the 49ers controlled the line of scrimmage. Dallas is supposed to have a good offensive line. 49ers pushed him around on both sides of the ball. I don't think you can go wrong with that. For years, it seemed to work for me just fine drafting big guys or fast guys, and that's not to overcomplicate it, that's for sure, but you just can't have enough of those guys. And I think that's what I would want some of. I want more big guys on one side of that line or the other than the other team, and I want some guys that can run. The thing that speed does is it just changes the way people defend you, especially on the perimeter on offense. Defenses have to play you different if you've got a home run hitter or two, because even if when you don't throw them the ball, they've got to respect the fact that that guy might run by you. So I just think that changes the whole mindset of how teams defense you when you have speed in your back pocket. Maybe Washington football team has that in Samuel. If he's ever healthy, he's kind of that kind of player. But as you know, he didn't play much this year, so they don't know. But finding fast guys, and that's why they go early in the draft, or big guys. And when I say big guys, I'm talking about five technique defensive ends or offensive tackles. Those are the premium positions in my mind. You just can't go wrong picking those guys or acquiring them in free agency.
Randy, we'll let you out with a thought on tonight's game, getting ready to kick off in 2 hours. 11-6 Arizona on the road, 12-5 L.A. Cardinals and Rams know each other well, both split their two games in the season series. 3.5-point favorites at home, the Rams. Total in the game is 49.5. What do you see when you look into the crystal ball?
I'm in on the Rams, I'll be honest with you. I think the Cardinals have been taking on water for the last month. They've lost 4 out of 5. Their quarterback's been up and down. He's been injured a little bit. I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury's figured out how to make adjustments late in seasons yet. I just haven't seen enough of it. Seattle worked them over last week. I think the Rams are primed to have a big night. I think Matthew Stafford is going to prove to people what his talent really means to that team and to McVay. So I'm in on the Rams. I think they're their favorite for a reason, but I just see them as having a little more juice and different ways to score. I think having Akers back now allows them to run the ball. I just think they're a better team right now, and I think they've been there, done that, and that means something in the playoffs as well.
Randy, really appreciate the time, man. Have a great week, okay?
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Be well.
Thanks,
former executive of the year, Randy Mueller on Grant and Danny. I don't remember for confidence points picks if you're done for the week or if you have a play in this game, Cardinals-Rams. Do you, Danny?
Oh, buddy, this is a hotly contested week. So, Darris, Ryan, and I all have Arizona plus 3.5, okay? But we assigned a different point value to it. 3 for me, 4 for Darris, 5 for Ryan. If Arizona covers, Darris and I are now tied. If Arizona does not cover, I will have a 1-point lead over Darris.
Ooh, okay.
Major implications. And Ryan is in danger of having the vampire weekend,
yes.
Which is all blood red.
Ryan, you are 0-for-4 on your picks. I've got an 11-point week. Now, I'm already in the clubhouse. All 5 of my picks are in. This was the game I felt worst about picking, so I just left it, didn't even deal with it. So I don't have to worry about tonight. But you are on the verge. Now, this is your 5-point play, so you could completely salvage the week. You could still very much be in the mix to win the whole thing. But we came into this week tied for first place. Danny and Darris are obviously battling to stay out of the basement right now. If you go 0-for on a week where I go get 11 points in the playoffs, you're going to be in trouble.
I know. I don't
huge
know.
Huge game for you tonight.
Exactly.
I'm rooting Rams, baby.
Oh, thank you, Danny. No, I still feel confident in my guys. Cliff Kingsbury, DeAndre Hopkins coming back. So we'll see. But nothing has hit. I just want something. I just want to win. That's it. Just give me some confidence going into next week. That's all I want, and that's all I pray for.
Well, if I had to play this game, I would play the Rams. All 3 of you guys being on the Cardinals side stuns me. Not that it's a crazy pick, but 3 of you picked the game, and all 3 of you see it that way. I would have a hard time picking Arizona. I do love catching that half point, though, I will say. Mm-hmm. 3.5 is big, Danny, because I could see, even if the Rams win it, come down to a field goal between 2 teams close in the division. If it was 3 straight up, I wouldn't like it nearly as much. But 3.5, I get what you guys are thinking.
Yeah, I do. Listen, it's Matt Stafford just maybe making one mistake or something as he's kind of done here down the stretch. One part is Arizona was so good on the road this year, including a win where they dominated these very same Rams. I know that was months ago. These are almost different teams now by that point. It's just shaky, though, because, again, it's not like Arizona was playing great down the stretch. this was the number one overall seed until
if the Rams lose, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a bigger disappointment than the Dallas Mike McCarthy fiasco.
It's the number one disappointment, and that's kind of what I'm going with here. I'm thinking of that. Like, they'll be puckered, they'll be tight because of all that pressure.
I just think they're too talented. Also, you said DeAndre Hopkins comes back. I don't think he's playing in this game, for the record.
Oh, he's not?
I don't think that was ever the plan.
I thought he was not.
Yeah. Last I heard, unless something changed, DeAndre Hopkins was not supposed to play tonight.
Well, I'm in trouble then.
Should you have maybe considered looking that up before you made your big pick, or no?
It was a good point. I did look up the last time the Cardinals went to L.A. and they smoked them. But, I mean,
he was really good in that game.
DeAndre Hopkins was good, too.
He's a good player.
I don't know what I read. I thought I saw DeAndre Hopkins was coming back, but I guess I'm wrong, and now I feel even worse.
Tomorrow, and I'll push this. I wanted to do this today. We didn't get to it. I've got a bunch of burning questions out of this playoff round. Things like, should Rich Bisaccia keep the Raiders job, which I would say looks a lot worse now after they just blew out Mike Mayock. One name to keep an eye on, I saw Ben Standing tweet this, and he said this is purely speculative, but this was the first thing I thought about when I saw Mayock's out, and maybe that means Bisaccia could be out. Jim Harbaugh's not leaving Michigan for just any job, but if you listen to Mike Florio, and he's talking to someone close to Harbaugh, I'm guessing, because he's been going hard with this for a couple weeks. Harbaugh likes the idea of coming back to the NFL to try to win a ring where he felt like he had some unfinished business. I think he'd only come back where he could be the GM and the coach. So that would be a potential gig, I think, for him, where he could do the Rivera thing where he runs everything.
And that's what he'd come back for, right? Because when you're the king snake at a major Division I university, everything runs through you. You are the GM. You are the head coach. You're everything. He would want that same kind of power and authority with an outrageous amount of money to leave Michigan.
Pressure on Kyler Murray tonight. Total at 255.5 for his passing yards. Matthew Stafford, you're out of Detroit, man. You got the talent. You got the weapons. You got the coach. Go get yourself a playoff win.
I'm at it.
Total at 274.5. Enjoy the game. Monday Night Football, less than 2 hours away. First, though, right here on The Fan, overtime with our friend Craig Hoffman. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.